The Lord be with you.
Good
morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today we are celebrating the Ascension of our Lord. That was actually this past Thursday. Today is also the last Sunday of Easter. Next Sunday is Pentecost. We will be celebrating Holy Baptism for one of our youth and confirmation of three of our youth next Sunday. As many of you know, I have decided to accept the call to Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and your support during this deliberation. This was not an easy decision, but nonetheless, it's where I believe the Lord has led us. And my final Sunday here will be Sunday, June 10th. And so we pray the Lord's blessings on all of you and ask for your prayers as well as we move into this transition. I would like to invite all of you, if possible, to join us in Bible class the last couple, 3 weeks here, because we're going to be talking about the call process, we're going to be talking about pastors and people, and how this whole relationship is found in the Scriptures, and also we're going to discuss how this will move forward for all of you. We're also going to ask that you please be seated after the service today as Tom Icone would like to address a few things as well with all of you. We pray the Lord's blessings as he comes to us with his word and his grace. Let us begin with hymn 493. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Where in the world is Jesus? Where is Jesus amidst all of your doubts, your fears, your questions? Where is Jesus when a doctor comes to you and says that he has bad news? Where is Jesus when he says the surgery didn't do anything for your illness? Where is Jesus as you look at your retirement account and wonder, am I truly going to be able to live out with what I have left from all of my life's work? Where is Jesus in the midst of a broken marriage, children distanced from their mothers and fathers? Where is Jesus in a world full of violence, people slandering one another on the internet and on social media everywhere? Where is Jesus in the church when the congregation hears that maybe their pastor is leaving and now confirms it, and they're worried about the future? Where is Jesus where a pastor is looking at a new congregation and told, one of the most important things when I first arrive in Milwaukee that I need to do is to buy a snowblower? Where is Jesus in our lives? When we're angry about what we've heard, what we're angry when we hear things from our neighbors, maybe we hear things in church, when we're frustrated, we're disappointed, where is Jesus as the grave waits for you? Today is Ascension Sunday. It's a Sunday that's kind of confusing in a lot of ways because Jesus ascends on high, a cloud envelops him, and he's gone from the disciples. Many theologians throughout the years will now say that Jesus has ascended up into heaven far above the cosmos, that he's chained down to some royal throne in the sky, looking down upon all of us like we're some little lemming, wandering around aimlessly in our lives, confused, angry, broken, not loving each other. Jesus says very well, the passages you like, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I as well. But then he also says, I'm going away, and that where I go, you cannot go. He tells his disciples, go out in my name, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. But then he also says, I'm going to this heavenly place to prepare a place for you. It seems like Jesus is separated from us. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we could book Jesus to preach here in the flesh today? Have me sit down, rightly so, and let him speak to all of the worries, the anger, the doubts and fears that you may have. Wouldn't it be nice? Because it seems like everywhere else in the Scriptures, the people of God in the Old and New Testament had a glimpse, had a reality of who God was. God walks in the garden with Adam and Eve. God is in the fiery bush as Moses encounters him. God is in the fiery pillar of cloud and the fiery pillar of fire, pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night as the Israelites are in their exodus out of Egypt. God is in the rock that is struck to give thirsty Israelites something to drink. God is in the temple, consuming the sacrifices of his people, being one with them. God is walking in human flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ, hearing the cries of his people, having mercy on broken people who've gotten all caught up in all of the darkness of the world, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, letting the lame walk. And now where are we today? He's up there somewhere. The world says to us, where is your Jesus? We don't see your Jesus. We can't talk to your Jesus. We can't touch your Jesus. We can't have breakfast like the disciples did with Jesus after he rose from the dead. We can't put our hands in his side and on his hand, and in his hands like Thomas did. Where is your Jesus? Especially when everything goes wrong. My father and my mother have forsaken me, says the psalmist from our psalm intro at psalm this morning. Terrible things happen when it seems like we are left on our own. So where is he? He's everywhere. Today is Mother's Day as well, as you well know. And any of you moms who have kids clamoring for you in your house, for your attention, and you have husbands who are nagging you, and everybody in between who's wanting your attention, what is the one common phrase that you mothers tell your children or your spouse? I can't be two places at once. I can only do one thing right now. And that is the beauty and the reality of the ascension with Jesus. If Jesus was still here walking in the flesh and blood, he wouldn't be here today. He'd be with whatever church he was preaching at today. He would not physically be able to be here. But when he ascends, he does not go off far above in the cosmos, distance from us, looking at us and saying, you poor, poor people. He does not go as one who sits there and says, I have no clue what it's like to trudge through the life of fears, doubt, and sin, and darkness, and death. Luther says that when Jesus ascends behind the cloud, he is now present more in the world than he ever was before. Because he sends his disciples out through the power of the Holy Spirit to give the people of God what they need in himself. He tells them that he will send the power from on high, that he will clothe them with his Holy Spirit. We're going to celebrate that next Sunday in Pentecost, and you're going to see it next Sunday in the fullness of the reality that he's with us. You're going to see where Jesus promised to be and where he's always been. at the baptismal font, where he will take yet another one and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, clothing them with his Spirit, forgiving and washing away all the sins, and promising to this little child, "You are now mine, and I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is in the water. The water, the blood, the Spirit, these three testify to the fact that he is here. The waters in that baptismal font are the same waters and the same blood that flowed from his pierced side on the cross, and they are washing and regenerating and giving new life to 21st century Christians far, far away from Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria. Here, even in California, is Jesus in those waters. Jesus is found in his word, that wherever two or three are gathered in his name to hear his words, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Jesus comforting and consoling us with his word, that you are never alone, that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for your good shepherd is with you. Though my father and my mother, they forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Every time you sit down with that devotion, every time you hear a sermon, every time you go to a Bible class, every time the scriptures are breathed into your ears, there is Jesus forgiving, renewing, and strengthening you, no matter who it is that's preaching to you and teaching you these things. Where is Jesus when we hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake? He is here, as he always said he would be. Whenever you gather together, just like the book of Acts chapter 2, where they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the scriptures, to praying, and to the breaking of the bread, there is Jesus, listening to our prayers, interceding now as true God and true man in heaven, as your dear brother on your behalf, hearing your cries for mercy, hearing your cries when you're angry, hearing your cries for help and forgiveness, and speaking to the Father the words he spoke to you from the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is here, beckoning you to his table this day to give himself to you with his body and his blood for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith, the strength to go through all of the changes and chances that we face in life as individuals, as congregations, and even as communities. It's not about one soul individual like me. It's about the greater good of Jesus being here for you with these things, revealing himself to you in these things, promising for you that though he leaves us visibly, he has never, ever left us to walk in this world alone. He goes there to prepare a place for you, but he also says that where I am, you may be also. That you may be also with me, no matter what you and I face in life. No matter how many times we ask out, "Where is Jesus?" He was always going to be here at this place as we gather around himself in his gifts, promising to soothe our hearts, to forgive our sins, to comfort and guide and direct us all the days of our life, so that we may always, always be reminded that you will reside in the house of the Lord forever with him. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Creed.